such confusion. And here we are, one in the Lord. Isn't it wonderful? From your expressions, you don't seem happy. I better get to the subject. We continue our subject, sowing and reaping. Book of Galatians, chapter 6, please. Book of Galatians, chapter 6. Sowing and reaping. Galatians, chapter 6. Verse 8. He that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Chapter 5, verse 19. The works of the flesh. You remember we stressed that the flesh has works. Activity. Action. Noise, that's the flesh. Verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit. Have you ever heard fruit root grow? Fruit doesn't make noise. And when the Spirit is working in us, there is an inner quietness. The fruit of the Spirit. Love. Joy. Peace. We've considered love, we've considered joy, and now we're considering peace. What is peace? Not easy to define. It's a harmonious relationship between individuals. Concord, harmony. Sister was telling me a while ago of a beautiful concert that she heard. Mr. Fleischer playing Beethoven's 5th piano concerto. Oh, that must have been great. There was harmony there. And peace is characterized by harmony. A quietness and a calm. A sense of security. Amos 3 and 3, what do we read? Two cannot walk together unless they be agreed. Now, those of you that are older, you know what this is. Two lovers walking in hand, they're agreed. And those of you that have not passed that way yet, you have something to look forward to. Two cannot walk together unless they are agreed. That's peace. I like the hymn, Nothing Between. That's what peace is. Fellowship, concord, harmony. That's peace. Now, there are two aspects to peace. Romans 5 and chapter 1, please. Two aspects to peace, and we want to consider the second, but we will mention the first. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace. Justified, we have peace. Now, my brother Dave Anderson has been talking about justification. Take all that he has told us and put it right in there. By justification, we have peace. There is a certain man who has committed a misdemeanor. And they are asking the president to pardon him. If the president pardons him, he hasn't cleansed him. The man is still guilty. But when we are justified, we are no longer guilty. Isn't that great? Who can do that but God? Just as if I had never sinned. That's justification. And that's where we have our peace. Enjoying it, beloved? Peace with God. sins put away. And I stand before God as if I had never sinned. I can't figure it out, can you? I can only accept it and thank the Lord. But then there is another aspect that we want to look at in the question of peace. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Verse 7. We have looked at peace with God. The peace of God. Colossians chapter 3. Verse 15. Let the peace of God. What's the difference between peace with God and the peace of God? The peace of God is a question of communion, fellowship, concord, walking with the Lord. The peace of God. That is the peace that is enjoyed by those who are walking with the Lord. I hear the voice of Jesus saying, I heard the words of love. I gazed upon the cross. I saw the mighty sacrifice. And I have peace with God. I had to learn that when I was 4 years old to recite at the Sunday school. Peace of God. Peace of God. Now let us look into this matter of peace. What is this? Oh, I shouldn't say what. Who is the source of peace? Where does peace come from? Numbers 6 and verse 26. The source of peace. Numbers 6 and 26. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. You want peace? He's the source. Isaiah 9 and verse 6. The Lord is the source of peace. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. When you get home, beloved, review that. The child is born, but the son is given. Ordinarily, a child is born and he grows up, he becomes a son. But in this instance, the child is born, but the son, he's a son while he's born. Can you fathom that? That's homework. The government shall be upon his shoulder. My, my, my. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God. And I like Darby's translation. The Father of Everlasting. When did Everlasting start? But he's the Father of it. Can you figure that out? All you can do is enjoy it. He's the Father of Everlasting, and the last description, the Prince of Peace. He is the source of peace. Do you want peace? He's the source of peace, the Prince of Peace. Now, from the time that I was a child, as far back as I can remember, I like to read. My mother used to say to me, Arthur, why don't you go out and play? You read too much. And I still like to read. And those of the family that know me know that I like to read. And last Christmas, a family member gave me a book. words of calm. And on the book it is written, this book, Words of Calm, is a jewel of a book, an antidote to the stresses of everyday life. These profound words from great thinkers will help you rediscover a deep sense of peace and calm. My, my, what a book. I thumbed through the book. There isn't a word, a reference to the Bible or to the Prince of Peace. How are you going to get peace? Do you know why the world is in pieces today? P-I-E-C-E-S. Because they won't have the Prince of P-E-E-C-S. That's the trouble with the world today. Listen to those people wanting to be present, and the people behind them. Such contradiction, such confusion, that's not peace, that's pieces. If you want peace, the Prince of Peace is the source of peace. John chapter 14. Verse 27. John chapter 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. The Lord Jesus Christ is the source of peace. And if you are here and don't have peace and you want real peace, take Jesus Christ as your Savior. You'll have peace. There is no peace outside of Him. As I mentioned, there are P-I-E-C-E-S outside of Him. And that's the trouble with the whole world. War here and war there. Throughout Africa, throughout Afghanistan, throughout China, throughout Colombia, throughout, what do you know, even in this great nation, there's no real peace. The Republicans and the Democrats, there's no peace. They're all contradicting each other. And even those running for president, oh my, what a bunch. All disagreeing with each other. I will do this. No, he's wrong. Oh my. And the only way you're going to have peace is through the Prince of Peace. Chapter 16, please. Verse 23. In that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, I will give it you. He's the giver of peace. He's the donor of peace. Romans 8. Romans chapter 8, the latter part of verse 6. Romans 8, the latter part of verse 6. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. You don't get peace by natural things. It's a spiritual thing. And He is the author and giver of peace. I repeat, if you are here and Jesus Christ is not your Savior, you don't have peace. You have something else. You think it's peace. He is the source of peace. Acts 10 and 36. Acts 10 and 36. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. There are several other scriptures. I won't bother to go into them. Look them up and see how many scriptures you can find in the Bible telling you that God is the source of peace. Makes a nice exercise. And you'll be thrilled. There is no other source of peace. He is the source of peace. Now let us look at a few examples of peace, the peace of God. Communion with God. Concord with God. Fellowship with God. That's the source of the Christian peace. Genesis chapter 38, please. Genesis chapter 38. Verse 20. Genesis 38, did I say? Verse 20. Isn't that interesting? I wrote down the wrong scripture. Let's see if I can find it. It's in Genesis. And it has to do with Joseph. Oh, that's a shame. When Joseph was placed in prison, falsely accused, what chapter is that? 39? Thank you. Oh, thank you. Thanks very much. Genesis chapter 39 and verse 20. That's it. Joseph's master took him, put him in prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in prison. What would you do in prison? Next verse. The Lord was with Joseph. He had peace of God. The Lord was with him. Showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. The keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand. Why? Because the peace of the Lord was with Joseph. I like that. I remember when I was in school, the peace of the Lord. The first year, there was a certain fellow in there. And it was only after we were in the second year, living in the same dormitory, he said to me, Arthur, I hated you so much I could have killed you. Well, I didn't do anything to him. I hadn't done a thing to him. But the peace of the Lord was what I tried to live. And do you know that in the next 3 years, we got so close we were on a first name basis? Graduation came. He was a former football star. And the campus knew him well. And there he was at the far end and I at this end. All these people, oh, calling Mr. Greenlee. His nickname was Apple. Oh, Apple, 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 Apple. He saw me and he waved to me and indicated for me to wait. Brought his mother down. Mother, I want you to meet Arthur Garnes. If a man's ways please the Lord, he'll make his enemies to be at peace with him. Stand up for Jesus, you know, folks. In school, at work, wherever you are. Peace of God. Let it work with you. For the sake of time, Daniel chapter 6. I have several here, but we'll just look at Brother Daniel. We know the story well. I dare say that most of you don't even need to read it. You know it so well. The peace of God, fellowship with God. Daniel chapter 6, verse 1. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. Over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give account unto them, and the king should have no damage. Verse 4. Then the presidents and princes sought to find an occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find no occasion. Young folks at school, keep the Lord before you. Maintain contact with Him. Let Him be your source of fellowship. You'll be amazed what it will do. Read on. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against Daniel except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Oh my. Isn't that something? The only fault we could find with Daniel has to do with his God. Is that true of you? Is that true? Do they dislike you because you love the Lord? That's why they dislike Daniel. But read on. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king, said unto him, King Darius, live forever. Oh my. You have eternal life, you're living forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors, princes, counselors, the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Verse 9, wherefore Darius signed the writing. What would you do? Only one God to pray to. Verse 10. When Daniel knew these things, oh my, what did he do? Did he cringe? Did he stop praying? He went into his house, his windows being open. He wasn't doing it in a closed little corner. His windows were open. Doesn't that thrill you, beloved? The windows were open. He wasn't hiding. He kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before God. Oh, my. Oh, my. That's a man who was walking with the Lord and in fellowship with the Lord. He was at peace with God and before God. I know this is a long reading, but let's read it. Let it thrill you, beloved. Enjoy the word of God. We read on. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication to his God. Found Daniel communing with his God, enjoying the peace of God. For the sake of time, verse 16. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now, let me just stop here. Scofield. Been reading him since I was 10 years old. That is his translation. Great servant of the Lord. I don't know if you have a Scofield. But Scofield said Daniel was cast into the lion's den. That's wrong. Daniel was cast into a den of lions. I like to go to the zoo, and I used to go to Bronx Park in New York. Do you know I have seen men in the lion's den? But I've never seen a man in a den of lions. But Daniel was thrown into a den of lions because he daily communed with the Lord. Let's read on. King commanded, they brought Daniel, cast him into the den of lions. That's where he was. He was in there with the lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually. Oh, what a testimony. What a testimony. The king put him in there. He said, but God will take care of you. Your God. I like that. No matter what the world does with the child of God, our God is able. Fellowship with God. Reading on. A stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den. The king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Verse 19, then the king arose very early in the morning, went in haste to the den of lions. Daniel, he went to a den of lions. You figured Daniel was devoured. He didn't go to see Daniel. But a strange thing happened. When he came to the den, he cried out with a malevolent voice, "Oh, Daniel, why did you do that? You put the man in there with the lions and come the next morning and ask for it and call his name." What happened? Daniel had so lived that the king recognized, this man has something that I don't have. What did they think of you in school, beloved? What did they think of you at work? Do they realize and sense that you have something that they don't have? That you are walking with God and in the power of God, maintaining communion with God. Do they recognize that at your workplace? Do they recognize it at school? Something came to mind, but I'll omit it. Verse 20. When he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice, "Daniel! Oh, Daniel, you'll have to pardon me, but this thrills me." He throws Daniel in a den with the lions and then comes out and asks for him, called by name. He knew that something was happening. And when we stand for the Lord in the midst of whatever the circumstances, they'll know that we stand for the Lord. Verse 22, "My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth." You remember what we read in those earlier verses? Three times a day, Daniel approached his God, maintained communion with his God. He was enjoying the peace of God. Acts chapter 16. We've looked at this before. But for the sake of time, Acts chapter 16. Verse 16. It came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us and brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. They have those fakers in the world today, too. I like the story that our brother Jabe tells about the soothsayer. You've heard it. The soothsayer said to him, for $5, I'll tell you what's going to happen tomorrow. And James said to him, I'll give you $5 if you tell me what happened yesterday. They still have them. Still fakers. Don't be deceived by them. But we must read on. The same followed Paul and Silas, cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. This they did many days, she did many days. But Paul grieved, turned, and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. Oh my, there's a man that's in communion with the Lord. Why, he's so close to the Lord, he asked the Lord to do something, and the Lord replied right away. When her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas, threw them into the marketplace unto the rulers. They brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city. They teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. The multitude rose up together against them. The magistrates tore off their clothing. That's pretty embarrassing, isn't it? That's the first thing. They tore off their clothing. Commanded to beat them. It's enough to tear off your clothing. You're going to beat them? When they had laid many stripes on them. Not a few. Many. They cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. When they had received such a charge, they thrust them into the innermost prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. Check the stocks. The stocks were meant to be an instrument of cruelty. You're hearing now in the army about waterboarding, cruel treatment of prisoners. Well, this was one of the ways they had of waterboarding, of mistreating prisoners. Verse 25. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. That's what you were doing if you were in jail, torch blown off, back beaten. Wouldn't you pray? Well, that's what they did. But they did something else. They sang a duet. Would you? Would I? Sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. Immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loose. The keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep. What? He's not supposed to be sleeping. But he was asleep. Seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself. And you know the rest of the story. Men who were in communion with God, in the midst of dire circumstances, stood up for God. You see me turning the pages? I have to because of time. Let's look at the believer and peace. What should be the relationship between the believer and peace? Matthew 5 and 9. Matthew 5, verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers. Know about it, beloved? Not strife makers, peacemakers. We as believers are to be peacemakers. And we will realize the blessing of the Lord. Mark chapter 9, verse 50. Salt is good. We know that. That's why we put salt on our food. If the salt have lost its saltiness, wherewith will ye season it? Have salt in yourselves and have peace one with another. Are we at peace with every brother and sister in this meeting? We are to have peace one with another. Can you think of anyone with whom you're not in peace? I think of a couple back in New York. I was asked to see this brother's mother. Midsummer, New York City, no air conditioning. I tell you, it can be miserable. And I went up to this lady's, I can't say room, because she was living in a closet. No window, just one door. And there was this elderly lady, perspiring, beads of perspiration coming down. And I said to her, son, you've got to get her out of here. She can't stay here. And then I met her daughter, and I said the same thing to the daughter. You and your brother need to get together. You know what she said? I don't talk to him. Peace. One with another. Harmony. One with another. Romans chapter 14. We are to live in peace. Romans chapter 14. Verse 19. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace. Follow after the things which make for peace. That's what we are to do. That's the relationship of peace. I have several here. Oh, Colossians 3 and 15. Peace. Colossians 3 and 15. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. That's what's to characterize us. The peace of God. James chapter 3. James chapter 3, verse 18. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by them that make peace. What are you sowing, beloved? You're sowing peace? Little chorus here, not in our book. You reap whatsoever you sow. Sow flowers, and flowers will blossom around you, wherever you go. Sow weeds, and weeds will blossom. Sow blessings, and blessings will follow. Sow hate. Oh my, that's terrible. Sow hatred. And I mentioned the sister that said concerning a brother, I don't talk to him. Anyone you don't talk to? Brother and sister you don't talk to? Brother and sister you don't like? We are to follow peace. Sow peace with all. I believe I've said enough. So we're going to conclude. Four concluding scriptures. We read one already. Let's read it again. Do you know that you can never read the Word of God too many times? You cannot read a verse of God too many times. I have told you about the brother in the Gospel series. 2 weeks. 14 nights he preached the Gospel. from John 3:16 and every message was different. Can you do it? Well, then you don't know all of John 3:16. He did it. It's a joy to repeat the scriptures. They never grow old. Mark 9 and 50, did I say? Mark 9 and 50. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salt seasoned? Have salt in yourselves and have peace one with another. Peace. The fruit of the Spirit. Peace. Second Corinthians 13 and 11. Peace. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace. First Thessalonians 5 and 13. Esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. I'm finished. Fruit of the Spirit, peace. I believe that we're all living in peace here. I don't know of anybody that's not living in peace. But if you are a child of God, please ask the Lord Jesus Christ, confess to him anything that stands between you and the next brother. Let us live in peace. Number 609. Peace. Perfect peace. In this dark world of sin, the blood of Jesus whispers peace within. Peace, perfect peace. With sorrows all around, on Jesus' bosom, naught but calm is found. 600.